I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. As the store's owner, I want our clients treated with respect. I want our employees to have extensive product knowledge and be genuinely engaged with our clients. Our pricing is competitive, but our client attention is second to none. When considering a new car, consider Cherry Hill Volvo. Contact me directly. Relationships really do matter to us.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Cioli.
You know, when we talk about big pharma in this country, we talk about insatiable greed sometimes. And what about the doctors who then prescribe drugs that really should never be prescribed to our children in particular? Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us today. And, you know, I always like to think about the greed of people sometimes as, I mean, really is sometimes the root of all evil. What's happening in this country right now with the gender-affirming care industry, it's a $500 billion industry. $500 billion. I mean, that's a lot of money. By the way, the latest on the smoke situation in Philadelphia, I'll give you some details on what they're saying now, what the NBC 10 and the CBS 3 meteorologists are saying, but hopefully the worst is over now, although they're also saying it just depends on how the winds shift for the weekend. So I'll give you a little update on that as time goes on here. But whenever Matt DeSantis stops yucking it up with the guests so that I can talk to him, I'll put him on the show.
Oh, but they're having a ball.
I know. It really is. I'd love to talk to him myself, Matt, if I could get him on the show. That'd be fantastic. So he's talking to the guest, but now I need to talk to the guest so that everybody in the audience can hear the guest as I talk to him. And if you want to have little chats with the guest beforehand, call him earlier.
He's friends with Mike Opelka. I didn't know that.
Well, then he has terrible taste in people. Gerald Posner, I assumed you had better taste in people.
You know, it's hard to imagine. As a matter of fact, I just sent a text to Mike saying, by the way, I'm going to be talking to your buddy any moment, Rich Zeoli. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't listen because I'm on the golf course.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Life.
It's all Opelka does is golf and fill in for national radio hosts.
So that was it. So he says to say hi.
All right, good. Well, I will send him a text back and tell him that he's a slacker. Of course, Gerald Posner, you are not a slacker. Pulitzer finalist, author of 13 books, several of them I've actually read, including Case Closed, Why America Slept, God's Bankers, and so many others. So thanks for joining me today. You have an excellent piece out, and I'm really glad you wrote it because you know, these puberty blockers, they talk about these drugs now for kids like they're giving them out as if it's just no big deal. And I've been saying that these drugs sound to me to be incredibly problematic. And you broke it down very well.
Yeah, Rich, you're so right. Let me tell you, the lie that has been sold on these, you know, they always say follow the science, right? Except when it comes to these, right? They don't want to talk about the science. They say, oh, don't worry. You put a kid who's 10 or 11 years old, they haven't started puberty, on one of these blockers, and then they can sort of decide if they really want to transition to the opposite sex. And if they decide they change their mind, they can just, we can take them off of puberty blockers and they can start their own like hormones with adolescence just a little late. The problem is these are really powerful drugs that aren't designed to give to kids. They've never been tested for that. They've never been approved. They're done off label. And there's a whole host of side effects from instances in which kids did get them, including thinning bones, problems with back disc, pain that lasts, migraines, depression, you name it. So There is some lawyer out there who's just salivating at the eventual class action lawsuit that will be had from the American Pediatrics Association and the AMA giving their blessing to puberty blockers to minors, in some cases without the approval of parents.
And these drugs are not approved for what they're giving to these kids. I mean, that right there is something that should flash a gigantic siren here. The Food and Drug Administration has not cleared these drugs for this. So all of this that we're talking about, this is off-label use here.
That's right. And so the history of pharma is loaded with stories of drugs that had side effects that turned out to be major moneymakers, and they were prescribed for more off-label purposes than they were for on-label. I mean, for instance, Rogaine was a byproduct of a drug for blood pressure that ended up, the side effect, it grew hair, and so became, for Upjohn, a much bigger product for hair growth than it was for blood pressure. The same thing happened. There was a hypertension drug out that ended up becoming for erectile dysfunction, Viagra. That was the side effect on it. And Botox, the same thing. It was given for this rare sort of genetic disease that caused eyes to twitch. They found out it softened wrinkles, and so it was massively prescribed off-label. So doctors do this. They have the right to do it. The FDA gives it to them. But it's a big difference between giving somebody Botox cream because you think it might lighten their wrinkles and giving children at the ages of 10, 11, 12, 13 these powerful puberty blockers. And then the next step is what they call cross-sex hormones. So girls get testosterone and boys get estrogen so they can start to look more like the sex they think they are. We don't let kids get tattoos. We don't let them drive until they're 18. In Oregon, by the way, in which you don't need parental consent to have your breast taken off if you're a girl. Double mastectomy at 15, no parental consent. In that state, you can't use a tanning bed until you're 18 with a doctor's permission and parental consent. So, you know, it's madness.
It is madness, Gerald Posner. And you are a guy who knows the pharmaceutical industry very well. And I highly recommend your book, Pharma, Greed, Lies, and the Poisoning of America. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. When I hear this gender-affirming care, and you point this out, you know, these are these euphemisms they use. These are the words for it. And if you say mutilation of a person's body, which, you know, in the old days, mutilating a body would mean that. You were cutting body mm-hmm. parts off mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. But nowadays you can't say that. It's not politically correct. So you have to say gender affirming care. But that affirming sounds like a very positive, wonderful thing. But there's all these stories of people who've gone through this and have had their lives irrevocably changed. And the depression that follows, the heartbreak that mm-hmm. follows from these stories, and those stories are rarely told.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're right. I mean, the thing that's remarkable about it, I mean, gender affirming care, that those three words, that, by the way, it became a diagnosis. You know, they can't get paid in medicine or clinicians or hospitals for that unless they can put a diagnosis down on the chart. And then it has to be approved by insurance companies. So insurance has to cover it, as it does for this. So gender affirming care is the diagnosis. It's only existed for 10 years. Never existed before that. In 2013, it was invented in this psychiatric manual that is the Bible around the world. And then slowly they started to roll it out and expand it. And affirming became, in places like the U.S. and in many places in Europe, some of them now changing their mind, the idea that whatever the child said, especially if they were teenagers or their children, if they thought they were another gender, they thought they were a girl instead of a boy, you shouldn't really stop them from doing that. You should be affirming. You can't stand there as a doctor or a psychologist and argue with them. So the whole idea is we're letting children in some cases decide. Now, look, if you're 18 or older, you want to, like you say, cut your body apart, or you think that you want to cosmetically look like another sex, there's nothing we can do about it. I don't like the idea we're paying for it on insurance. We're paying for it in Medicaid. We're paying for it in most big corporate insurance policies. That's become the norm. But that aside, adults can do what they want. I'm most aggravated and incensed about what's happening to kids. And when you said you don't hear a lot about the detransitioners, the ones who have changed their mind afterwards, and you're right, regretters, as I call them, because they regret what they've done, but they have permanent changes made to their body. They can never have an orgasm in the rest of their life. They can never have children. They're sterile, essentially. You realize you've made a mistake on that. It's something that's turned your life upside down. And I'm glad the Wall Street Journal had the courage to publish this piece, because a lot of the mainstream media just doesn't want to get on the wrong side of the gender issue, because they know they're going to have all the LGBT activist groups for the Human Rights Campaign and everybody else. You're going to get a lot of heat, a lot of flack from the activists, and they just don't even want to go there. So the Journal was very good about running this.
And I always say, follow the money. I mean, this industry, yeah. I read one time, is a half a trillion dollar a year industry. There's big money behind these surgeries. There was one doctor on social media who's bragging he's going to be at Nike. They're going to have one of, as part of their Pride Month, have this doctor speak. He's on Twitter bragging about the fact that he did 3 mastectomies to minors, to young girls, for gender affirming care in one day. And I imagine he's not volunteering his time here. So there's big money behind this.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you, both pharmaceutical companies and the doctors are cashing in big. And think of this, for the drug companies, it's a home run in the sense that, you know, I say that as a cold calculus, but drug companies like to have patients that use their drugs for life. So if you have diabetes or heart disease or high cholesterol, once you start the medication, you may be on it forever. With people who start hormone blockers or the hormones to change their sex, they're on it for life. It's not like you take it for 2 or 3 years, then that's the end of it and you can get off of it. I mean, you're on it forever. And for the actual surgeries, let me tell you, anybody who's listening, Rich, who thinks that all you do is it's a surgery, they roll you down the hallway, it's ambulatory, you're out that day. No, forget about it. It's a series of it's really tough, mutilating surgeries. And they've added on top of it all these plastic surgeries to feminize or masculine the face. There are problems that come up afterwards. The total cost for total transition is about $400,000 in the U.S. So you're right. It's big numbers and only getting bigger because so many of young kids have a contagion with this on social media, on TikTok and other places with, you know, books in schools and that. They think it's a trend to identify as the other gender or use a different pronoun without any idea of the long-term consequences, because adolescents can't think of long-term consequences.
I mean, you know, as a dad of 3 young kids, it scares the hell out of me. It really does. What are countries around the world doing?
Well, okay, so the countries that were ahead of us, meaning they were more progressive or more liberal than we were on this, not surprisingly, are the Scandinavian countries, right? You know, and so Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Norway, they were the ones. It was actually in Denmark where the idea of puberty blockers was first used in 1998. So you're talking a long time ago. Now, those countries in the last few years have started to reverse tracks. Guess what? It took them a long time to realize that there were problems here. Then they started to see them. So what do you see all of a sudden? You start to see Norway just this year say, oh, this is experimental after 20 years. We think it shouldn't be used until there are more safety studies. Sweden did it in 2022, cut back drastically on using any puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones on minors. And the same thing happened with Finland. So why are the Nordic countries, which are so permissive on all of these issues, peddling backwards when we in the U.S. seem to be peddling forwards? You know, the Democrats and the progressives like to point to, they say, oh, look at these Republican states. A dozen of them have passed laws that ban gender-affirming care or hormones to minors. Well, they don't mention that 7 Democratic states at the same time have moved to weaken or remove the restrictions on the need for parents. So, you know, the counter side is that there's a part of America that's making it even easier and putting the kids in charge, which is absolutely, for me, irresponsible. That truly is something that I think in 10 years, hopefully sooner, we'll look back on and think, how are we doing this and not arresting these people for the equivalent of child abuse?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I really do. I mean, this is child abuse. And I listened to Dana Bash last night with Mike Pence, and she's going on about, but you support parental rights. I mean, we don't give parents the rights to abuse their children. That's not a right that parents have. We don't give parents the right to give their kids drugs and alcohol or to molest them or to beat them within an inch of their life. I mean, parental rights is I think, a ridiculous argument here for the left to use on this.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But, you know, the idea is it's so fascinating. So my wife and I, we don't have children, but we have two god kids who are 12 and 14 years old, and we're very close in their lives. We watch them grow up and everything else. And if they're at school and one of them gets a headache and they're given a Tylenol, they end up notifying the father or mother or, you know, us. We find out about it. There's some stuff the school notifies you automatically. Now there's this idea in the progressive ends that, oh, by the way, if the child walks into a counselor or a teacher and says, you know, I'd like to be called she instead of he, or I want a different name, that the school has to go along with what they call social transitioning. No drugs involved, social transitioning, and not tell the parents. And the reason for that is in the LBG, leave out the T for a second, but in the gay and lesbian community years ago, they used to be in a fury about the idea of conversion therapy. You know, that there would be people who would try to convert somebody who was gay not to being gay. So they have this overarching thing that if you tell parents that their child at a very young age is thinking of another sex or gender, the parents will put a kibosh on it. They'll come in and say, hey, no way, you're not doing that. And it won't be conversion therapy, but they'll just stop it from happening. And therefore, the only way to make the child free is to make sure the parents don't even know. Now, to me, that's the equivalent of the state taking the child and deciding what they're going to do with it. I mean, that's what they do in Sweden. Although they're getting a little better on some of this, they still have a rule that if parents blocked a child under the age of 18 who wanted hormones, the state could take the child into state custody and act as the guardian to have the gender-affirming care go forward. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, you talk about an authoritarian state that's a little on the scary side, that would be.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Gerald Posner. It's great to have you on the show. Tell us about the new book, Pharma, Greed, Lies, and the Poisoning of America. I am really excited for this one.
Well, you know, you said it before, and the great thing about pharma is they do a lot of good things. It can take medications. You get an infection, you've got an antibiotic that's going to save your life. My wife had breast cancer a year and a half ago, and she's fine. She's through. So pharma does a lot of good things. But they also get a little greedy sometimes. Just follow the money. And there are instances in which they have popular drugs that are selling well, and as the side effects come in, they don't report them to anybody. They keep them in the back room, hoping no one will notice. And by the time it finally explodes, it's terrible. And that's happened on the opioid crisis. It's happened on the contraceptive pill in the 60s, on hormone replacements for women in menopause. There are some terrible stories along the way. And then you think the drug executives will have learned their lesson. But the reason that they sometimes come back for the same thing is the only punishment is basically a big, big fine. No one goes to jail for it in the drug world. So, which is remarkable. They pay $5 billion, $6 billion. You know, they settle the opioid cases for $22 billion. And that's the cost of doing business. They lose a lot of their profits, but they still made enough money to go on. And it is a great story of innovation in the laboratory meets greed in the boardroom.
Well, listen, I can't wait to read it. I'm grateful that you joined us today. Pick up the book, Pharma, Greed, Lies, and the Poisoning of America. And we'll post a link to your excellent piece in the Wall Street Journal, The Truth About Puberty Blockers. The FDA hasn't approved them for gender dysphoria, and their effects are serious and permanent. Gerald Posner, thanks for making the time today. Other than your terrible taste in friends like Mike Opelka, you are terrific.
Thanks, Rich. I will talk to you very soon, I hope, on something.
Thanks. Absolutely. It'll be great to have you back. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.